So the next reader, it's her birthday, and it's Veronica Pienkowski.
Okay. So this is a story called Short Skirts. Am I loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your pants are hot.
I thought, okay. Okay. I met Alice my first night working. She was sitting at Sabrina's bar, and I joined her for a drink after my training to relax my feet, which had been deceived by the borrowed wedge sandals. Alice was one of the regulars who didn't seem to mind that her drinks were served up with more flesh than she'd probably seen in years. She was older, probably in her 50s, how old I never asked, and she consumed a pack of cigarettes and 10 La Femme de Mons with every visit. Supposedly, she lived 2 blocks away on the corner above a Max Milk. "Oh, we got a new one," Alice grinned at Sabrina as I rubbed my feet. Sabrina smiled quickly and placed a tall Bloody Mary in front of me. "I won't be here for long," I muttered under my breath. "They all say that. Prove me wrong, sweetie." She said it so lightly it came off like a plea more than a condescending fact. I noticed she had a book in front of her. "How can you read in a bar?" She laughed. "You get used to it. I come here quite often, you'll see. I find it harder to read in complete silence." She looked around and motioned with her hands as she spoke. All the voices and sounds and the music, it adds to the experience. I couldn't agree, but I liked Alice right away. She had graying, slightly greasy hair that was pulled into a braid down her back. "So what's your story?" She seemed interested in me. I finished my drink and thought before I spoke. "I just moved back. I studied here 3 years ago." "What did you study?" "Math." It wasn't a lie, but I had never finished, never graduated. I left 2 years ago after my mother's funeral to follow a boyfriend across the Atlantic, to live in Edinburgh and sleep on a mattress that dipped in the middle. I sank into that dip for 213 days before my mind and my sore back convinced me it was time to move on. The rain, the grayness, and mist that breathed onto the city had tired me out. When you cross an entire body of water for someone, you expect everything to change. But when all that water makes no difference, you find yourself staring back down at it. I returned to the city where I had no family, few friends, just a half-finished degree in a field that held no solutions to anything I believed in. "And what now?" "Now I need to pay off those student loans." "Cheers to that," Alice said, and we clinked our glasses. She made me laugh because no matter what the topic was, there was always a reason to celebrate. Alice made the job more bearable, as temporary as it was. Just knowing she was always there, like a fixture, a sign you recognize when lost in a foreign city. I needed her there even when it was too busy to talk. It reminded me of home and my dad, how he used to sit in the basement until midnight, sometimes later, working on his computer, and I was in bed 2 floors above him. I couldn't hear or see him, but the only reason why I fell asleep was because I knew he was there. Alice didn't show up on Thursdays and Saturdays. "There's too many young, horny college boys," she said. She preferred the routine of the rest of the week. From far enough away, it was the staging of the same play, always the same play. Alice sat in her stool, same one at the end of the bar, and drank, sometimes quietly reading or watching the televised hawk game, mostly chatting with that night's bartender. After a few beers, her cheeks would flush, and she would talk more and more, louder to every new person who sat next to her. Clyde, a tall British man, would sit 3, maybe 4 seats down from her, drinking his Molson X. He was thin, yet so tall I imagined he would still be heavy to carry. Mikey, whose real name wasn't Mikey, sat across from Clyde. The bar was shaped like a U, and drank Black Russian, stirring the ice with a short straw. "Small straw, please," he would spit out in one breath. He was polite because he was one of the few who said please, but he acted as if he was being served by a bunch of monkeys with short-term memory loss. Or maybe he was the one with short-term memory loss. They chatted sometimes, those three, and with others who sat around and in between them. Days went by, and I marked them down on my calendar of Scottish castles. The snow melted. I had my own routine, and it consisted of sleeping, eating, and working. My father called sometimes to tell me what he was up to on the farm. It was never much. He could pick me up, he said. It was only 4 hours, and he liked to drive into the city. But I was busy, I told him, very busy. With each day I counted forward, I also counted back, trying to figure out the exact point where I'd given up. "Why are you really here, sweetie?" Alice would ask me on some nights, and take a long, easy sip of a beer to release me from having to answer. In my head, I would say, "I'm going back to school. I promised myself this because I couldn't think of anything better." By springtime, Maxine's had replaced its M and acquired a newly burnt-out X. What about Vic? Alice was helping me pick out customers to date. I shook my head. Vic smells funny, like muskol. You ever noticed that? He's nice, though, and he tips well, Sabrina told me, Alice said and nodded her head with conviction. Dating customers was like knowing where your meat really came from, what kind of life it actually lived. It never felt right. But it was hard to meet a man at normal hours when the only men I knew were my teenage grocery clerk, my landlord, and my bus driver, who, considering all my options, seemed like the best choice. He was an excellent man because he smiled, always asked how I was, and smelled like coconuts and Timotei shampoo. Of all the drivers, he was the only one who ever showed up on time. You aren't married, are you, Alice? I had spent the last 78 nights with this woman. I felt it fine to ask. Plus, there was a ring on her finger that appeared on some nights, and the assumption she had switched sides, become a lesbian. She never came in or left with a man. Was, years ago. I prefer not to talk about it. She looked down at her finger, seeing the ring as if for the first time. After that, I didn't pry, but still wondered about this man that was once her husband. I narrowed him down to a few possibilities. He may have been Italian. Alice had an unnatural aversion to Italian men, which may have been due to a previous unsuccessful marriage. This man may have beaten her. Alice was a small woman, one I couldn't see defending herself too effectively. He was most likely a drunk. They could have drank together, maybe that's how they met, in some seedy bar like this one 30 years ago, and the drink could only keep them together for so long. Maybe he was loving because he was drunk all the time, and when he decided to go sober, an untapped rage blew out and caused their marriage to collapse. Maybe. He may have simply bored her. This man, this husband of hers, may have bored her into divorce. Alice sat in the same seat, ordered the same drink every night, but boredom was something different, something stronger that might have... Patience was no match for everyday dullness. This husband could not have been Italian. Boredom causes no emotions, not even hate. He may have been slightly overweight and balding and most likely worked in the trade setting tiles. He read the paper every day, but only for sports and the sidebar of odd highlights from around the globe, a paragraph dedicated to Siamese donkeys born in Honduras. It was hard to picture Alice with a man. I can stop. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Veronica.